This is February 10th, 1980, Taos, New Mexico, and we're having a session with Bartholomew. Good morning, Bartholomew.
Good morning.
Bartholomew, my question concerns meditation. And I've observed two states, both seem to be in a deep meditative state, but they're entirely different. The first state is a state of no thoughts. The mind is in neutral, floating. The body is extremely relaxed. The second state is that the mind is thinking. The mind is planning, conceptualizing, running on, but there is a watcher. And the body is also relaxed.
Yes.
Both are equally difficult for me. There is peace in the first state. In the second state, there is no peace, but there is no non-peace. And what my question is since both states are of equal difficulty, which state is the state we should be going for?
All right. I must ask this. Are these states something you can control? Can you decide, as you move into your meditation time, can you gear yourself to have one of these or the other of these manifest, or is it something that just simply manifests through you?
No, I can direct either
one. You can direct either one. I think, and again, I will give a qualification to my answer. I am now speaking to you, this gentleman who sits beside me here on the mesa in Taos, and I answer your question. This is not to be interpreted by anyone else who might be hearing this tape. For this person, I would say that the most useful for you will be that of the watcher. I cannot answer that universally, but in your case, that of the watcher by far. And I think I will make no more comment because I think you will begin to understand as you do it more and more, you will begin to understand. Now, there will be times, my friend, when the tension of that will become so great that it will perhaps be a very kindness to yourself to move into the other. Do you understand? But it becomes very tense, and I understand the mechanism that builds up under those circumstances. And at those times, if it does become too much, allow yourself to slip into the other. Because it will be more restful, you see. But on the other hand, I don't want you to rest too much, you see. And I feel that the state of the watcher, developed as you are doing it in your meditative state, will then manifest on a moment-to-moment basis during your day. And that is the closest thing to the truth that you can come to at this state. Do you understand? When you begin to be able to do that in your daily work and not only in your meditative times, which is possible, you will begin to live on a completely different plane of understanding, and that is really what I'm seeking. All right.
Bartholomew, we have several questions from JW's group. The first, is there a beginning for entities? And is the earth plane one of the beginning levels of learning?
The answer to the first is yes, and the answer to the second is no. I suppose what is really being asked here is this game of separation confined only to the earth plane? Does that seem like a logical question they might be asking? And the answer is no. This ties in with a statement that I made in reference to Miss Montgomery's, or I believe more correctly, Mrs. Montgomery's latest book, whose title has escaped me. Can you remember the title of that?
Strangers Among Us.
All right. In that book, she states that if all of these dire conditions happen on the earth, that there will be tremendous difficulty in humans finding ways to incarnate because there will not be enough body forms, And while that is true of the earth plane, what must be understood is that there are many other planets that the game is played with sufficient determination to satisfy even the most ardent game players on the earth plane. The great beauty of the earth and the reason that the whole is saddened by any opportunity for the earth to no longer give forth its many opportunities is that it holds a very special place, in that it contains within its vibrational understanding and frequency the ability to hold the very lowest form of understanding and at the same time quite high. Not the highest by any means, but a quite high vibrational capacity. Therefore, you have a vaster opportunity along your scale of unfoldment of returning to the union of the one to experience here on this earth plane, and that is not possible in all of the other spheres. For example, various planets, I don't like to speak in this terms because people get so agitated, but I will go ahead with it anyway. Certain other planets have such a low, dense, if you could put it this way, such a dense frequency that only those who are very dense, by that I don't mean stupid, but I mean very dense in their vibrational desires, that those planets are the only ones that will be available to them. And the unfortunate part about that kind of thing is that there isn't a great deal of loftier vision to raise you by viewing higher understanding. Do you understand?
So it's harder to progress in one of these other planes.
In that there isn't the higher level to look at and at least to puzzle upon, or at least to hold the carrot before the donkey, or whatever. And then there is the opposite end, of course, which is that there are certain planets that, with all due respect, would never allow some humans to incarnate there, simply because, not for any kind of arrogant thing, but simply that the vibrational frequency would not make it possible for them to do so. It is simply a matter of energies matching. Do the energies match? Can you live on a moon that has no atmosphere? The answer is no, you cannot. You have to take some kind of a mechanism with you in order to live there. All right, that is my understanding. Is that a true statement about earth beings? All right. Well, taken as a symbol, the same thing is true of the planets. If you do not have the rarefied atmosphere of your own to sustain you in these other areas, you won't be able to go there. And it's a simple fact. There's nothing complicated about it. And this is why there is sorrow that the earth is perhaps in a state of chaos, at which time perhaps, again I say perhaps, fewer entities will be able to incarnate and play out their roles of understanding here, simply that way. So the answer is, to the question, no, this is not by any means the beginning planet, but I would also say that it is not one of the higher. Kindergarten and first grade, perhaps, could we put it that way?
So nursery school, which is below kindergarten, is somewhere else.
Somewhere else. But understand that the great and terrifying hatreds and angers and animalistic outpouring that you see coming from certain entities on the earth plane, oftentimes, if you could see them clearly, they would have come from a nursery school quite recently. And so what? You were in nursery school at some time. What is the problem? One mustn't stand back in horror and say, oh, you vile and terrible creature. It hasn't been so long since you've participated in that, nor is it not possible that you can again, for a short period of your time, fall again into that period of violence. This holiness is a tremendous problem. And it is always here. And I think that one of the greatest techniques for freedom is to view all of this as understanding it to be a part of your being. Understand that that part doesn't just fall off like a tail of a lizard and go away and never again plague you. All of your nursery school upbringing is still with you. It still carries with you, and perhaps now you have a little bit more understanding, that may be true, but you still carry that nursery school feeling. It isn't something separate from you. Do you understand what I'm saying? That it isn't as if nursery school is now finished, forgotten, and cut away, and now floats somewhere in the abyss, and you never need to be reminded of it. It comes, it stays with you, it's a part of you. And until you see the totality as something contained within your being, but not your total being, then you begin to be free of the whole thing. When you see it for what it is, and you see your vast being for what it is, then you can totally embrace it with love and compassion, you see, and that is the stage that I'm asking for. So don't close the door on your nursery school, but that it could be stated that this is a nursery school, kindergarten, first grade, for some, perhaps even the first few weeks of the second grade. But by no means is the earth representative of the rarest forms of energy manifest, by no means.
Now, I have another question, and if this is getting too cosmological, go into it, but assuming one, there are different ways to graduate from the first grade, is it possible that one can learn the lessons of the earth by and large, with perhaps not learning, shall we say, the big one, which would be that we're not separate?
Oh, yes, I understand your question.
Okay.
And the answer is by all means. Understand, if you look at the number of people on the earth plane who have, in your mind, totally transcended the illusion of separation, there are very few. And so, seen from that point of view, you must say it is hopeless. It is so hopeless. But I say again, the reason they are here is that they have chosen to return, not as part of the illusion, but as some people who have a greater understanding and who come to lighten the load. It's simply, when you leave this earth plane, if you have even begun to taste of what separation is for, then there are other areas of understanding and teaching that you can go to. This isn't the only alternative. Understand, if you are so attached to this particular globe, then you must return. And those of you who are will have to return, even though perhaps, for example, let us say that you're in the first grade and you adore your teacher. You know, you just adore it. And you say, I don't want to go to the second grade. I'm going to go back. And for some reason, the principal of the school allows you that. You will sit there in the first grade with your adoring teacher that you adore and that adores you, and you will sit there for year after year after year. And that is a choice open to you. You can continue to return here. No question about it. But the reason that we ask for you to turn your life over to higher powers now is that later on, if you have not turned it over to higher powers when you're here, do you really think that all of a sudden when you move into other areas, you are going to all of a sudden become a very surrendered being? You are what you are. No matter what body form you're in, you are what you are, and you will take all of that programming, all that processing with you. It doesn't fall away from you. You know, when the body dissolves, there is that essence that you have built up that is the incrustation of your ego that goes on. It doesn't just dissolve into nothing. You take it. Now, those are deceptive words. You take it. But that would be entirely too difficult to go into. But let us just state as a premise that something continues when the body is dropped. There is an essence of feeling of what you are, an accumulation that goes on. That accumulated understanding, if it has surrendered to whatever capacity it has within it to turn over its life to the higher one, then that energy moves in and says, might we suggest that instead of old terra firma, you think about something else. But if you were so attached, say, to other people, oh, no, but my beloved whoever is on that earth plane, I must return to be with whoever. Do you understand? Then you have trapped yourself. And all of these eternal vows of love for one human forever, amen. Please, my friends, don't trap yourself or others in this way. The fact is you have no knowledge of what is going to take place. So allow the surrender of your being. And allow the powers to make these decisions instead of always you. You know, if you are making your decisions here, then you are going to make them there. And the gods are not going to destroy all that you want. They're not going to, as soon as you drop your body form, say, ah, now we will start bossing you around. Do you really think this is the way it's going to be? You know, the so-called death state is simply a continuation of what you call the living state. There isn't any great difference, which you will all find out sooner or later. You are what you are. And you will go through other experiences. But the fact is that when you take form and decide that you must play it out here, then you must. And so we ask you to hold the great doubt in this too, that there are perhaps other areas of awareness. Perhaps it does not even need to be a planet. Perhaps you don't even need something as substantial as a planet. Perhaps you're even willing to abandon that and move to what I would call an area of consciousness that has nothing to do with a physical form. Do you understand? There are places like this. Please, you know, people say, don't talk that nonsense, Bartholomew, that's garbage. There's only this world and then there's heaven, and that's the only choice, and don't confuse the issue. You see, and that isn't true. It isn't true. And the more you limit yourself to thinking that your eyes speak truth, the harder it will be to convince you of these interim stages of awareness that are always available. The truth is thus, if on this earth plane you have done your utmost to be free of the illusion of separateness, and you have not made it to the final point of truly seeing that, but if your whole being yearns for that, at the time of your death, certain things will be obvious to you. Certain things will be clear to you if you are awake and not so terrified. You will be shown and you will see. And at that stage, an entire new way of learning is possible. Now you can only learn through words, through experience, through physical understanding, through mind. That's how you learn here. That is not the highest way to learn by any means. And if at the time of your death you were still in that yearningness, that still your being still says, teach me, show me, please. At that moment, then all things are possible. And then you move into other states of awareness. So easily, you will gravitate toward that area of universal understanding that is best acclimated to your understanding, and you will be taught. Do you see? It is almost as if you move into a town. And if you move into a town and you say, I must belong to such and such a church, well, that's what you'll belong to. On the other hand, if you move into a new land and say, well, let's see what's here. Open it all up to me. Guide me to where I need to go to see what I need to learn. Then you will be taught. But if you've made up your mind, then we are, strange as it may seem, we are helpless against your own will. Your will manifest for you.
Bartholomew, I would like to ask a question concerning this, and if it's inappropriate, please just acknowledge that. I tend to get the feeling that in my human mind it says that there must be a decision made. But I wonder, is it really a decision or is it simply a state of evolution? For instance, you spoke of different vibrational levels. Well, could it be that as the vibrational level changes, that we become subject to specific laws, if you will, of evolution, where we can only rise as for instance, we observe the different densities tend to segregate in, on this plane? Can it be that we simply, and this vast evolutionary law that I am assuming exists, perhaps we are still only in a very small part of it.
All right, now the question is excellent. And please correct me if I am incorrect in understanding you. You say, do we need to make a decision? All right. In truth, life takes you to certain events. Now, when you move to those events, you will feel, if you're paying close attention, you will feel different energy fields pulling on you. You will feel what the world calls the lower and the higher. All right, those are words. But there will be different energy fields pulling at you. Now, usually what happens is that you go with that which you're most comfortable with, which would be the lower at this time. But you retain in you a memory of the other, the higher, if I might put it that way. And the next moment, the next time you're drawn to a circumstance and both energy fields are present, you will, the second one will be familiar to you now, more familiar, because now you've had a second taste of it. But still you will, so-called, make the choice to continue with the lower. And then another time the experience will come again. And I'm talking about within a day, you may have 15 of these in one day. It doesn't have to be once a year, once every 10 years. I'm talking about constantly if you're awake. All right, now, all of a sudden, one day, when you have had enough taste of the other, what you will do is you will say in your mind, I choose to try the second. All right. In actuality, it is only a matter of having now accumulated a feeling of and a participation in that higher vibrational essence that now draws you more than the lower. And it is, in your words, evolution. Do you see? You are now evolving out of that other and into the higher. And if you ask me, do you have a choice? In actuality, you ask a very deep question because you do not. Now, the reason you do not have a choice is only because the vast part of you wants the higher understanding. If this were not true, then I could not answer that question as I do. But it is the truth that the vast part of you wants that, very deeply wants that, because it has been a part of it at one time. It yearns for its return to that. So what you call evolution, I only call the urge to return to the source from which you sprang. And the law is that you yearn to follow and return to that source, however strange the manifestation might be. So in truth, you have no choice. And this is why they say, and they speak correctly, that man will eventually return to the source. There's no question about that. The only thing that I would interject here is that there is a way to participate with your own evolution, if you will use that word, that will hasten. For example, if you're on the bottom of the sea and you have a rock upon your legs and you cut that rock, if you simply allow the body to float, it will eventually float to the surface. The law would state that that is a necessary happening. However, if you kick your feet, you will move faster and you will get to the same place. But you will have helped yourself using the sea itself. You will have helped yourself to reach the surface within less time space. Do you understand? So the person who is awakening is the person who has perceived that they have the ability to move their own legs in order to reach it. And this is what the only thing that I would call the path is, to begin to participate actively, consciously, with your own movement, rather than just allowing the normal, what we would call, time span to take care of it. Have I made this clear?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because, you see, if you're paying close attention, if you have learned from the first example that I gave that you have two energy fields and you taste of the rare, more rarefied one, and if you're paying attention and you realize that following that more rarefied one has brought you and those around you greater upliftment, greater meaning, greater substance, greater, not joy at that stage, but a greater sense of purpose in the vaster sense. Now, if you have recalled that, then the next time this now rarefied energy comes in, you're going to recall that. And you're going to say, all right, now let's use my past experience as a springboard. And now I don't have to go through this process of deciding that I want to go with the more rarefied. I already know by my own experience that going with that brings me closer to that which I seek. So then you will leap into it sooner. Do you understand what I mean? You will leap sooner into that higher understanding. And you will become more courageous because you will trust it more, because you will have said, it works, following this higher attunement. Now, what are we talking about? What actually do we mean? We go back to what I consider to be the very basis of the thing that I have come to say, which is this. With all due respect to organized religions, when you have really begun to move on the path of freedom, the grosser vibrational frequency can be represented by organized religion. And you have to use the springboard of your courage when you begin to taste the more rarefied air of universal understanding rather than separate exclusivity that comes in an organized religion. Do you understand? When this breath of freedom moves over you and you begin to doubt all of the dictums of your faith, when you begin to believe that there is a freer state that isn't bound by rules and regulations and thou shalt nots and so forth, you will have to spring out of your organized faith and begin to chart your own path. And what I have come to say is simply this. The blueprint of your freedom lies within your being. If you do not trust totally on the blueprint of your own being, you will not have the courage to spring out of organized religion. All right, now let us say you have sprung out. Most of you have sprung out of organized religion. But now, my friends, you are stuck in another lower vibrational understanding. Do you see? Because now that you've sprung out of it, you have now conceptualized a new understanding, and you cling as tenaciously to that understanding, and now you have formed together in groups that say, oh no, organized religion isn't true, but this is true. This that we are now sitting every two, three times a week, this is truth. Everybody pay attention now, this is truth. And then the one person who wakes up and says, balderdash, this is still the lower vibration, because now moving through my being, I sense something else. And now I sense, oh my God, now I sense that I have to leave this comfortable room with all my dear and comfortable friends and quit saying the same things day after day, week after week. Now I have to, oh my God, I have to leave this. I have to walk out of this comfortable warm room with my dear beloved friends. And now I have to go into the lonely, cold, rarefied air of that higher thing that I now sense moving. Do you see what I'm saying? And now you find yourself alone. But my friends, you won't be alone long, because now all of those who are responding to that higher feeling will come around you, and then you will find yourself once again in the same happy, contented little nest of similar thoughts, similar ideas. Do you understand? Even though you may now have a vaster concept, you are still caught. And this is why it is so extremely difficult. You have to continue over and over to leave what you know. And in fact, the greatest danger is to those who leave those groups. Because the people who leave those groups, most of them, it's time that they left them. It's time that they said, this is enough. I am being stunted because I am no longer able to say anything new, because now I have followers, and my followers I have a responsibility to my followers. Therefore, I have to keep on saying the same things and doing the same things. I can no longer allow myself to fly free of this and move into other understandings. This is why, basically, I'm not terribly in favor of groups. Because I think that groups that go on for a long time, if you look at them, they probably aren't really fulfilling a tremendously higher need. Perhaps they are saying the same things that they were saying years ago. And the groups may come and go, the people in them may come and go, but those who are leading them oftentimes remain where they are because of this idea that they owe something to these people. In truth, perhaps they should shut down the whole shebang and find out where they really stand within their own being, find out if they don't need to make changes on their own. I'm speaking to all of you because what is going to happen up here, unless you're very careful, is that you're going to have this kind of phenomenon, and I don't want it, and nor do you. This isn't a group here. This isn't a group of people. These are individuals searching for their own blueprint. And hopefully, every blueprint will be individual. Every blueprint will have its own understanding and must be followed in its own way. And hopefully, you will mind only your own business and not stick your fingers in other people's business. Therefore, everyone will be able to move in the way they have to move. If you find one day that you're all sitting around and you all agree, I would suggest that you sell everything and move to the far ends of the earth and start again. If you all agree, my friends, you have only conditioned each other to a nice, familiar, safe, secure level of understanding. Do you understand what I'm saying? And that is death to growth because it is too comfortable. When everybody around you agrees, then you have probably lulled yourself into some kind of stupor and you are not listening to those colder areas. And I say that they are cold because they are. You know, when you all of a sudden, perhaps you do understand what I mean, when you belong very sweetly and securely to a group and then one night or one morning you're meditating and a cold wind moves across you that says, I would like to put a little doubt in your mind about what you've been believing all these years. That's a cold wind. Because if you begin to follow that cold wind, you're going to have to rise up out of the security of that fire and move out into the night and find your own way. And that is what it's all about.
And perhaps have to assume the role of a heretic.
Well, not only will you be a heretic, but if you are in the position of any kind of authority, you will have this terrible question of, oh my God, I have all these people that I'm responsible for, and this is one thing that I must guard against for the woman. If I ever feel that she is in a place where people depend on her to the place where she can no longer move out of this experience, then I will cease to have anything to do with it because her growth is my responsibility. Do you understand? And if anything grows around her that incrustates the situation, that she cannot one day burst out and be totally different from what everybody wants her to be, then the thing will be killing her. It will not be helping her. And that will be the end of it all. Because I have given my word to her that I will not limit her spiritual understanding to play a role. And well, she knows this is a role. So it's not so much the heretic, it's the person who has to seemingly turn their back on those that they are, quote, helping. And maybe in turning their back, that is the very thing that will not only help themselves, but will help all those seeming followers who have perhaps fallen asleep. Very easy to fall asleep in loving, protective environments. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, and I have a burning question.
All right.
The enigma, as it appears to me, is this. Is as we grow, as we evolve, whatever the word is, we're going to find ourselves closer and closer to the source. This is the enigma, because as we go closer and closer to the source, as I understand it, we drop off more and more the illusion of separateness and become more and more one with all, whatever that is, the God, whatever our concept is kind enough to make convenient for us. So the enigma, as it to me seems, is what we're really asking is giving up our world of existence, which on any plane seems to be nice.
Yes.
Can you please give us some deeper understanding of what this union with the source is?
All right. Now look. Let us go back to our example of the teacher of the group who one day rises up with tears running down his or her face and says, this is the last day. The cold wind has blown across my being and I realize I must move on. All right. Now, all of those people and the person who is left, they do not leave each other and somehow be alone in the sense of a continuation of some kind of communion and understanding. What I mean by that is this. When you begin to listen to the cold freeze. You will have first a feeling of fear of leaving the known and moving to the unknown. It is a death. And then you have a choice to make, which you do not have at the time of your death. This is why it's more difficult to die during your lifetime again and again than it is to die at the end of it. But you have a choice to make, to really kill all that has gone before, in the sense that you are no longer feeding it, your energy. And you're now listening to this coldness, this cold, unfamiliar newness of things. And it seems to you to be cold and lonely. And what had come before was so warm and familiar and friendly. And it is a death. In that coldness, in that movement of that otherness, unknown yet, the mysteriousness of it, there is a life. A mysterious movement of life that contains within it a fire of knowing that the old did not contain. And it is raw. It is raw, unfamiliar, unformed energy. And it frightens you because it is unformed, unknown. You haven't worked with it yet and clarified it for you. So therefore it is mysterious and awesome somehow. And a part of you is afraid of that. And it is that point at which you choose to back off and fall back to the fire of the knowing and the warmth of the known. So at that moment of that death, of the killing of the old and moving into the new, which is not yet born, which is not yet really felt, comes the loneliness. And it is in that part of the movement that I would call the dark night of the soul. And you cannot go into that without fear, without a feeling of loss, of loneliness, of abandonment. All of those are possible. If you have not felt these things, my friends, then you have not moved into higher states of consciousness. You have not. However you might say it, those of you who say that the path is only joy, then you are not talking about the same thing that I'm talking about. We're talking about different things. I'm talking about that moment of knowing somehow that you are alone with this coldness. And in that moment, your experience is alone. All I can tell you is that, as any woman can tell you, in the birth of a child, you are alone. However many people may be there to assist you, you are alone. You experience the pain and the movement. It is all you. You are there and you are alone. And something is being born and you must participate with it, or suffer in the consequence. As in the great works of art being born, so is the great spiritual awareness born. And it is the choice of fighting against it, of putting up the obstacles, or of allowing that coldness to totally envelop you and to carry you where it will. In that moment of letting go, in that moment of understanding that the coldness has something to give you, to teach you, to present to you, if you will, there comes within you a feeling of such wonderful rightness. You cannot express it as joy. It is rightness. Do you understand that word? It is only rightness. You have not yet been able to shape and form it into joy or bliss or knowledge or wisdom, all of those forms. It is just a rightness about it. And in that rightness is the is the essence of the source. And going with that rightness, however strange, myopic, and weird as it might seem to those around you, there carries with it ineffable knowing that this is the right movement. And the joy of that rightness is indescribable. Do you understand me? It is not what you think. It is knowing that by going in this movement in this way, that somehow, without your mind understanding it, there is rightness. And that is, my friends, the way to the source. And mind and ego being what it is, you take that mystery and you bring it into form and you begin to understand it, you see, and you put it into little images and little compartments, you see. And so, and this is allowed for a while, yes, and your vision has expanded now. There's more understanding. But then, my friend, again comes another day that the coldness comes and all of those images now you perceive as the obstacles, and the coldness says, now you must abandon all of those and move. So there is that time when you are moving from one level to another, when only the mystery is there and only the knowing and the unformed is so much there. And you must accept this as a process. You speak of it as evolution. It is a process. You must understand that you participate in the process of moving within things and then having to abandon them. And then moving into new ones, uncreated, ununderstood. And then they flow into different forms and different words and different understandings. And those then become yours, and then they become old. And then you move again and again. Now, you would say, but then I'm leaving behind all of that. But in fact, if you could see with the eye, you would see that you were not leaving behind. It is almost as if you were a funnel, beginning at the small end and moving into the vaster ends. You take all of that with you. None of the real divine movement that has taken place anywhere within that funnel was ever left behind. The true love, the true essence of any of those experiences is still with you. It doesn't leave and isn't abandoned somehow. It is a vaster movement in an expansion. But it is true that the forms must be left behind and only the essence remains. I hope I'm not talking so abstractly that you cannot understand me. But the essence, the true essence of any of those things that you have understood goes with you. It doesn't leave you. So if you feel that you are having to abandon some things, what you are abandoning is only the form of the thing. And what you take with you is the essence, the divineness of all of it. And it continues and it never goes anywhere. This is why any time you have touched true love, there is no way ever of losing that. It is always a part of you. The form may change, the form may die, the form may move out of your life, but the essence continues. Have I made this at all clear?
Well, I think, do you mean by the form that perhaps the structure of a group that you've been the leader of and with a certain doctrine that's been, placed into a code that, everybody can understand, that's the form that is given up, but whatever it was that had been learned from the cold wind that brought one eventually into a group is kept with one as one moves on to another level.
And the what you have tasted from those people and what you have learned from them goes on. You don't just close it off. You see, and people are so afraid. They're afraid to leave groups. They're afraid, And a group with a doctrine is easier to leave than a group with a non-doctrine. Those are the most difficult. A group that has a non-doctrine has a doctrine of its own, subtle, but there. And all of this has to be carefully watched. All I'm saying is that you have to realize that what is true and what is close to the source goes with you wherever you go, and you don't abandon anyone. You don't abandon anything. You simply move out of one form and move into, hopefully, a vaster form. I sense I'm speaking too abstractly. You're going to have to pull me down to more concrete form if you would like to.
I wonder if you would talk about... Well, I'm wondering if you'd talk about the... Well, earlier you said that the person who's learned about... learned the lessons of the first grade but still is under the illusion of separation may go perhaps to other planets or to other areas of consciousness. What happens to the person who not only has learned the lessons of the first grade but has, if you like, hit the home run? What happens to the person who has seen through the illusion of separation and not, and you know, in addition to having learned the other lessons of the first grade on the Earth plane?
They have choices to make, and the choice will depend on their blueprint pattern. Some will remain to teach, others will leave. There is no rule. There is never any rule. They will simply have to follow. Understand that they will do whatever it is that the divine motion moves them in the direction of, and they will do it willingly, and there are no rules. Some of them are very bad earth plane teachers and would not help at all to stay. Understand, they would be very bad at it, and therefore it is pointless for them to stay because they would be very bad at their job. And why waste all of that simply to do something that is not going to be well done? Others fit very well into it and are able to do it. Others are mediocre. It simply depends. So it's just a matter of whatever has been the unfoldment of that particular entity is that which moves on. So there again, even, we will have no rules placed. Some stay, some go. Some do a good job, and some do a very bad job. This has nothing to do with their own wisdom. It has to do with, again, a way of expressing divine energy. It changes all the time. I feel we have other questions that are pending that I feel we must reach on.
There's another question from the group in California, which is, how would you answer a person who only speaks in Spanish or some language other than English?
Do you mean, would the woman be able to speak Spanish?
I take it that's what they're asking.
Well, if she could speak Spanish, then we could do that. But since my understanding of her linguistic ability is rather limited, it would be impossible. All right, this expresses a question that I think... means that perhaps there is a lack of clarity on the process that goes on between the woman and the energy that you call Bartholomew. All right. I've said before that there are various ways of having this phenomenon express itself on the earth plane. In some people, they are willing to lay aside their own ego self and in some ways just remove themselves often from the body form, go other places, some of them, other realms of understanding, while another energy force moves into the body and speaks. Now, in that instance, I would suppose it would be possible for Spanish to be spoken, or Arabic, or ancient Persian, or whatever the game was set up to express. All right. That is not what is happening here. What happens here, plain and simple, is that the woman becomes quiet within her being, and reaches out and touches upon energy surrounding her that heightens her own apparatus to such an extent that she is able to answer questions that you think are very hard to answer. And the truth is, and she would tell you this, that this is man's divine right, and anyone could do it. There isn't anyone who doesn't have access to any of this material at any time. It is simply that you have been conditioned all of your life to limitation. Therefore, when the unlimited comes and pushes itself upon you, you do not feel adequate to express it. It is simply a matter of using your own equipment, whatever it might be, and reaching out into the awareness that is constantly around you and allowing it to move in and begin to understand what it's all about. There's nothing mysterious about any of this. The thing is that most of you are afraid. You don't know. You know, you've been, in a way, I am very disapproving of your childhood story. You know, all of these, the stories of childhood that so many, the fairy tales and so on, that are the myths and so on that go on in the earth. Many of them are frightening. Many of them are very frightening. And what they usually tend to do is tell you that anything that is supernatural means something that is other than the natural state of your awareness is something to fear. And although there might be a fairy godmother, there is always a witch lurking in the wings somewhere to come forward and to do this and that. And all of these images come into the child's life early, and they are continued on and on. And all that you're trying to do, all that is really done, is to make people afraid of anything that is other than their mundane and ordinary. And I say that that is a great mistake, because I see it as completely possible for most people's equipment to tune them into vast areas of understanding on their own at all times and in all places. It's just a matter of conditioning. And then, of course, we have the great gurus of the earth plane who say that unless you have a guru, then you can't understand things. You know, well, why not? That's how they see it. So that's how they represent it. But this is a rather unfair representation of God's love, because God, after all, if you want to put it as a God person, as a God entity or whatever, if there is such a power as God, it wants to move through you with understanding equally as much as you want to have it move there. So why not reach out and begin to trust your own? A problem again and again is, you're so afraid of falling flat on your faces. You're just so afraid. And also what you're afraid of is that God is going to want something that you don't want. You know, God is afraid he's going to say, no, you can't have 16 dancing girls. You know, you're really afraid of that. And therefore, you keep all these things away because you're so afraid that God is a negative power, something that takes things away from you rather than adds things to you. So therefore, you keep things away at all times. Well, why not find out? Why not find out what the divine energy really wants for you? Maybe the divine energy wants you to have not 16, but 26 dancing girls. How do you know? You don't know. But all of your fears are such. And then comes the time that you begin to reach out, and you begin to feel what this divine energy might be trying to say to you. And then you become afraid, because then you say, oh my God, I can't do that, because everybody will think how arrogant I am. If I start doing what I think God wants, well, people are going to begin to think there's something very arrogant about me. Well, my friends, you don't have to tell anybody anything. You can just simply do it. You know, the problem with a human is they do a lot of talking. They do a lot of talking. And if you feel impulses to do certain things, and you really do feel they are divinely inspired, do them. Try them out. Try your wings. See what's happening. What is really happening? Begin to trust it. Begin to follow. That's what the cold wind is all about. If the cold wind were warm and comforting, it would not be difficult for you to move into it. Anything that is new, my friend, provides you with a coldness. And this is why death is described as cold. It is a cold energy. It is cold because you do not yet understand it. You do not yet feel familiar with it, and therefore it manifests as something cold. And it's interesting because the vast energies of space are cold in some wonderful way. You know, the heat of the tropics puts you to sleep. The cold winds of the north awaken you. So take your choice. There is no one listening to this tape who could not do precisely the same thing that the woman is doing. Oh, true, it would not personify itself in this exact same way. No, why should it? There's nothing, you know, sacrosanct and special and wondrous about what is going on here. It's a very normal process. All it is one person who had been crying out for years for divine wisdom has finally reached out long enough and strong enough so that the divine wisdom is speaking clearly because her need was great. When your need is great enough, you'll receive it. Until that time, you'll just have to take somebody else's words instead of your own. But when your need is great enough, when your crying within is so loud, then you will get it. The only thing that differentiates this person from other people is that she's been crying louder and perhaps a little longer. That's the only difference, and therefore the answers have come for her. But there isn't anyone who can't have it. You know, the Christ said it, I believe. All this and more will be added unto you. That's precisely the statement. All this and more. This is a limited rendition of what is possible. Believe me, we're dealing with limitations. Even now, with all of this, well, these are only limitations. There are much vaster things available. Does anyone... I would like to end this tape by just saying something that I feel I would like to say again and again. I say it occasionally just to remind all of you of something. You have come into existence for one thing only, and that is to know who you are. You have come with a built-in ability to answer that question. If you doubt that you have that built-in ability, then your concept of God is indeed lacking. With all due respect to the great gurus, I will tell you this. It is a very diabolical God who would place within you the burning desire to know who you are and not present you at the same time the capabilities of reaching the answer. You would not pose such problems to your children. Why do you suppose that the great ones would do such a thing to you? It is true that if you are fortunate enough to have touched upon the life of an enlightened one, on the earth plane, there is much that you can learn. I do not for a moment dispute that statement. But at the same time, because of the nature of the whole unfoldment, it is not possible for many, many enlightened ones to walk the earth at the same time. And therefore, you have been given within you the answer to your question. And it is your duty, if you wish to put it that way, to go within yourself and find your answer. Those of you who state with crying concern, I can't find the answer, it means that you have been walking through the morass of your mind. And your mind will read the Vedas and the Bible and the Quran and the sutras, and you will say, there's only contradiction here. I see nothing but contradiction. And then the great ones will say, oh, no, 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 there's a thread of similarity, and so on. And I tell you, my friends, that your mind will only lead you into conflicting understanding. Your mind is not geared to answer your questions. Your inner being is. Again and again I say to you, if you are seriously on the path, if you seriously wish freedom, then the only thing that can be said is, how seriously are you listening to the thousands of promptings daily that come through from your vast being to encourage you, to guide you, to stimulate you in the correct way? How carefully are you paying attention? How willing are you to turn off the external noise of your outer life and go within your being and answer quietly the questions? You know, it's no good screaming questions if you're never going to shut up long enough to hear the answer. Understand me, I mean this absolutely literally. Most human beings are screaming questions out and are not listening for answers, and they cannot come to any inner harmony this way. The questions have been addressed. The powers understand the question. You understand the question. All that remains is to shut up long enough to hear the answers. When you sit in quietude and you no longer have a question to ask, because well you know the question has been asked, then you will begin to listen to the answers, and not until. The only job I have is to tell you the answer lies within. If you belong to a group that is safe, satisfying, and secure, you are probably no longer listening to your inner voice, but are listening to the consensus of your outer voices that used to be a representation of your inner voice. The path is one typified by the climbing up a very steep rock-encrusted mountain, and it is well understood as thus because the atmosphere gets thinner and thinner up as you go up, and the fewer people there are moving at the higher reaches of those mountains. And you must face this. I do not mean you have to leave your friends, my friends. I would never ask that of you. It would be too austere. I am saying this. You must leave the beliefs and opinions of your friends and look within yourself for your own answers. And have the courage to look them squarely, even when they dare to differ with those around you who you have put in the exalted position of leader. And those of you who are leaders, I would ask you to look carefully at your role. Are you moving into new and higher realms of understanding? Or are you still stuck in the same old realm of understanding with the misguided understanding that you are helping others? Please look carefully at these things, my friend. It is well said that the most dangerous job on earth is to be a spiritual teacher. And that is because a spiritual teacher begins to believe that they know enough and therefore ceases to seek within their own being, ceases to listen and respond to the cold winds of new, mysterious, and yet unmanifested understanding.